And please turn now in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 will be our text for this evening. The sovereignty of God has us in this text. We don't plan these things. We don't fit them together. God does. He's a good God. We introduced 2 Corinthians last week and considered how this book unveils the power of God in weakness, the grace of God in failure, and the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Power, grace, and glory. And as Paul moves, and the verses we'll consider this evening, Paul moves toward these Corinthians, these troublesome Corinthians, but for him, they're people he loves, particularly as he considers the grace, power, and glory of God. And Paul offers to the Corinthians what we all need each and every day of the week, the comfort of the gospel. So we will read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. But before we read, let's pray. Father, we do need your comfort. We need that comforting word, the word of Christ, to speak to our hearts. Speak, Lord, we pray, through Christ and through your word. And in Christ we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. This is the Word of God. My voice to God, aloud I plead. My voice to God, He will me heed. I sought the Lord, I was distressed. I gave my outstretched hands no rest. My restless soul all through the night, no comfort found in coming light. Our psalm of the month, if you've been here with us, you've sung it many times. And I wonder what's gone through your mind as you've sung those words. No comfort found in coming light. As I prepared this text and as I pondered this psalm, as I've considered it this month, I've just realized how many of you can truly from the heart sing those words. No comfort found. As I was reviewing my notes for this sermon yesterday, I received a text from a dear brother in Christ telling me he'd received news that had him more crushed than he'd ever been in his life. And maybe you this evening find yourself crushed as well. No comfort found in coming light as you consider the dark night of the soul that you experience. No comfort found in coming light as you wake up that morning over and over again, hoping the pain is gone. Maybe the physical pain, maybe the pain of a broken relationship. And the light comes, yes, the sun rises, but the comfort doesn't. And I trust many of you this evening, now as we come to the end of this month, and we're still singing this psalm, are seeking the comfort again from the news we've received just today. In times like this, it's not only okay, it's good and it's proper to ask God, to look to the Lord and ask, where can we find comfort? Where will comfort be found? And as Paul comes to the Corinthians, he's asking the exact same question. Throughout the book, pondering his sufferings, chapter 1 speaks of suffering. Chapter 2, anguish, pain, tears. Chapter 4, despair and destruction. Chapter 6, calamities and beatings. Chapter 11, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, anxiety. Even anxiety caused by the Corinthians. We could go on. I've just given a few, really, of the words Paul uses to describe his longing for comfort. But as Paul begins 2 Corinthians, he is found and is trusting the comfort of the gospel. It is not despair, but comfort that leads him into this meditation 10 times. 10 times in those verses we read, comfort, 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 and on it goes. Whether you're grieving tonight the passing of a dear friend or mentor, or whether there's some other issue in your life, or whether you just need the gospel. We all need the gospel. You're called this evening to see and to find and to know the comfort of God in Jesus Christ. And it's a comfort that comes to you in Christ and then flows from you in Christ. Verse 4 is really the thesis, the end of verse 3 into 4, that the God of all comfort who comforts us so that we may be able to comfort others with that comfort. We receive and we give comforts. And really this whole these verses, it's just meditating on that concept, receiving and giving comfort. And so we want to unpack that thought just with that structure, the comfort we receive that drives us to the comfort we give. And first, so we just want to consider here the comfort we receive. The comfort we receive in affliction, found in verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, we have the God of all comfort who comforts us in our affliction. We discover that comfort here does not begin with us. And see this from verse 3. It doesn't actually begin with what God has done. Comfort begins with who God is. He is the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Comfort expressed here is almost an attribute of God, or the perfection or expression of His glory and character. We're used to expressions describing our God as one, as a Father of mercies. Exodus 34, He's the Lord, full of mercy and compassion. We could say just the same, the Lord, full of mercy and comfort. It's fascinating as we consider the New Testament, as the New Testament writers consider how to describe our great God. They come back to this word over and over again, the Comforter. Some of you would know that Greek word, parakaleo, or parakletos, the Comforter. When Jesus speaks of sending the Spirit, He says, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Helper. 1 John 2, as Christ is described, your English Bible likely has something like advocate. Same word, Christ, the Comforter. And then here, most emphasizing the Father of mercies and God of comfort. Who is our God? The Father of comfort, the Son of comfort, the Spirit of comfort. We have the God of comfort. And for you this evening, that is the beginning point where you're going to begin to find comfort in Christ. Comfort isn't something that you happen to get from God if you're having a bad day and if you catch God at the right time. No. Comfort comes from God because comfort is who God is. Comfort is who God is. And as the God of all comfort, He comes to us. He comes to us in our afflictions and brings Himself. He brings His comfort, verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction. And the idea of that He's in our affliction, He's comforting in our affliction, is not just that He rescues us from them. He sees us in affliction, and He comes in and He pulls us out. But that He invades our affliction. He pervades our affliction. He's there. His comfort in the affliction. You know, if you go to a garbage dump, you go to take the trash there, and you happen to spend some time there, which I hope you don't often do, you are surrounded by the aroma of garbage. It's a full sensory experience. You cannot escape it. And by contrast, if you go into a greenhouse, it's remarkable. Even if you're not looking at the flowers, you are surrounded by the aroma. It's there. It's present with you. And the paradox of the Christian experience is that our lives often feel like a journey to a trash heap. And as the Christian goes into that suffering, as the Christian goes into that experience, it is not the smell of affliction we find. We're surrounded by the aroma of the comfort of God. We're in the affliction. The afflictions are real. Life hurts. We grieve. The world will tell you, it's not so bad. Look on the bright side. I can tell this is all going to work out. It may not. It may not all work out. You may be led to grief. We are led to grief. But as real as your afflictions are, so real is the comfort of God. You are in the affliction. You are in the grief. And His comfort comes and invades that affliction. And at this point, you ought to be asking, how? You may say, that sounds nice, but life doesn't often feel like that. I go into those places of sorrow and grief, and I'm surrounded by my grief. How can comfort invade my sorrow? How can comfort invade my affliction and lead me to that aroma of peace? How does this paradox of comfort and affliction come about? Look at verse 5. We'll come back to verse 4 a little bit later, but look at verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Thus far in the meditation, we've only really meditated on one sufferer or one group of sufferers, us. We suffer. The God of all comfort is in heaven. We are on earth and we suffer. How does the comfort come down? Paul says, there's another sufferer. There's another sufferer, and it's not just any sufferer. The Christ of eternal glory that's offered grace and peace, 2 Corinthians 1:2, that Christ came and He suffered. And in your suffering, as you are in this Christ, you are united to the Christ of suffering, and you, yes, you share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. And maybe you look at your life and you say, are you sure? Are you sure that my situation is sharing the suffering of Christ? Maybe you even would say, maybe Paul went through a lot of things Christ went through, sort of. Are you sure my sufferings share in Christ's sufferings? Remember who Paul's writing to. A church full of people like you and me. It applies to the missionary Paul. And it applies to the church he's writing to. How do you share Christ's sufferings? You share His cross. Christ goes to the cross. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. You share His persecution. If they hated me, they'll hate you, He says. You share in His suffering mission. As the Father has sent me, I send you. You share His pain. The Westminster Shorter Catechism describes Christ as going through all the miseries of this life. Christ of glory going through the miseries of this life. And you this evening experience that. Your home is in the heavenly places. And you experience a world of curse, a world of pain, sorrow, and death. And in this, you share in Christ's sufferings. You are permitted to be bold. 2 Corinthians 1:5 permits you to be bold and say, yes, in my suffering, I share in the sufferings of Christ. And as you internalize that, as you internalize that you share in the sufferings of Christ, you internalize this too. You share, verse 5, abundantly in His comfort. You may share in His comfort. And what we must see in this is that the comfort offered in Christ is the most profound comfort imaginable. You can go to all kinds of places in the world that will likely offer you comfort. Comfort food, comfort clothing, so on and so forth. There's no comfort, though, that matches the comfort of Christ, because the comfort of Christ here is a comfort of Christ accomplished. It's a comfort in Christ that's been accomplished for all time. What do I mean by that? A comfort accomplished. The book of Isaiah. Think the book of Isaiah, perhaps the book that's most clear on prophesying the events spoken of here, the suffering of Christ. What is the proclamation of the book of Isaiah as it approaches that meditation on Christ? Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Isaiah 51. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places. I am He who comforts you. Isaiah 49, Isaiah 52, the Lord has comforted His people. Isaiah's message is this: comfort, 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 comfort is coming. Isaiah is almost as repetitive with the word comfort as Paul is in these verses. Almost certainly Paul meditating on those words of Isaiah. And how did Isaiah say the comfort would come? Isaiah 52, the Lord has comforted His people. Isaiah 53, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. The comfort of God in affliction would come through one who bore our sorrow and affliction. On the cross, He bore our sorrow. He would bear our sorrow, Isaiah said. And now here is Paul, and he's thinking of his anguish, and he's thinking of the Corinthians' anguish. And what's the message? The comfort has come. We're on the other side of the comfort. Isaiah looked forward and said, comfort, comfort will come. Paul says, the comfort of God in Jesus Christ has come. In Christ, He bore and shared the sufferings so that you may share His. The cross is the bearing and the sharing of the sufferings. And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your comfort for all time is accomplished. Your comfort is accomplished. From time to time, we look for comfort in our life. Something makes us feel good for a period of time, and that coming light comes the next morning and it goes away. And the reality of life hits us again. How sorrowful and how painful life really is. The comfort of the resurrection of Jesus Christ will never go away. You may be suffering, you may be grieving this evening. And you will wake up in the coming light tomorrow, and the pain and the affliction may be there, but as you share in Christ's suffering, you will share in His comfort, because Christ has accomplished it. And you share. That comfort comes to you as the power of God that has risen Christ from the dead and will guide you in your sufferings. That comfort comes to you as the grace of God. The grace of God that shines through, perhaps in failures in your own life that have caused some of your affliction. The comfort comes to you as the glory of God. You're living your life and you recognize the sorrow of this world and you're comforted and you remember there's a risen Savior. And I'm speaking with Him. And He hears me. And to you this evening, the risen comfort of Jesus Christ is offered to you. And the call to you is to live. Live in that paradox of comfort and affliction. It won't be a paradox forever. In eternity, it will be comfort, 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 and the afflictions will pass away. But now you say, in my affliction, I bear the cross. I'm sharing His sufferings. He went to the cross, so will I. And you say, I bear His comforts. I share in the comfort of Jesus Christ. And you live your life surrounded in that greenhouse, that aroma of the comfort of God surrounding you. But it doesn't end there. Why not? Because you experience that comfort and you wake up in this greenhouse and you look all around you to your right and your left and you're surrounded by other suffering Christians. And Paul is driving in that direction. Paul is driving in that direction as he reaches out to these Corinthian people, and there are really two options. To be found suffering and being comforted alone, or to look around you and for there to be this chain of comfort that forms with those that surround you in Christ. And Paul says it's got to be the latter. It's got to be the chain of comfort that comes from God to you and then leads to the comfort we give to others. So we've considered the comfort we receive. How does that drive us to the comfort we give? Verse 4 and then down to verses 6 and 7. And as Paul speaks of this, he speaks of comforting those in affliction. Verse 6, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Paul is thinking of what the comfort of God means for him to them. And you have to realize for Paul, as he wakes up in the greenhouse, the aroma of comfort is coming to him. He wakes up and he looks around him and he sees a bunch of Corinthians. The people who caused his sufferings. The people who caused his agony as they drove him away and caused him pain. And he looks at them. Instead of driving them away, he says, there is a connection between me and you that drives me to comfort and gives us unity and love in Christ. And really the foundation for Paul is this. Purposeful suffering is others-oriented. Purposeful suffering for Paul is others-oriented. That's verse 4. Comfort those in affliction with the comfort you've received. Verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Comfort and salvation. Isaiah words again. Isaiah, if his favorite word for salvation is comfort, well, perhaps his second favorite word for salvation is salvation. Isaiah 12. Your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. And Paul says, if it's my comfort and it's my salvation, and then I go through affliction, it becomes for your comfort and your salvation. And what he drives us to is a mentality of others-oriented suffering. Others-oriented suffering. And we're led to the paradox of the Christian life. It's not what we quite expect when we think of suffering. So often, suffering becomes like a centripetal force. It drives inward. It drives toward us. The world begins to be smaller. Life surrounds us. We build a life around ourselves and we tell ourselves, not now. I can't be a minister of comfort. I can't be giving comfort now. Life surrounds me and my suffering. And Paul says suffering is a force that drives to others. It drives outward. It drives outward as you receive the comfort of the gospel. And you see it poured into others' lives. The last time I visited Dr. Blackwood, I had two of my children there with me. And I came to his room. This was not too long ago. And he was crying out in some form of pain. We know he was in significant pain as he approached the end of his life. And the nurse came in and treated him and helped him out with what he was struggling with. And he decided it was okay for me to come in with my kids and talk with him. And we talked for a few minutes. As we approached the end, he seemed to perk up as I suggested that we would sing what we've already sang tonight, Psalm 23b. And for the most part, it was me singing, but he tried to follow along with the words and sing himself. And he had that picture on the wall of the sheep in the field there. It seemed at the end, particularly as he looked at David and Jenny, that he realized he needed or wanted or was called to bring comfort to those around. And for the last time in my life, I heard Dr. Blackwood, in all his pain and all his agony, try to explain to my kids the Good Shepherd who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Purposeful suffering. The suffering that we go through, even to death itself, is an avenue by which we can bring to the world the comfort of God in the gospel. And as you look at your suffering, it may seem impossible to you now, but as you look in your suffering, at least begin to pray, Lord, would you let this suffering be used that I could come to others and bring the comfort of the gospel? It may take time. And yes, there may be times in your life where the call of God for you is just to receive the comfort of the gospel. You don't need to be the person, broken leg in the emergency room, who feels the obligation to run around the room and be telling everyone about the comfort of God. Sometimes there is a place for receiving the comfort. But as we see what takes place, as we see Christ who gave of Himself and His suffering was others-oriented. And we begin to reflect Christ as our suffering ministers to those around us. And as we engage in this way, this changes our view of Christ. We understand what it means for His suffering to be others-oriented. Not only, though, does it change our view of Christ, it changes our view of those around us. Look where it takes Paul in his relationship with the Corinthians. These troublesome folk. They've got issues, they had issues, and as we'll see very soon in 2 Corinthians, many of the challenges carry on. But at this point, how does he describe them? Verse 6, as we move toward the end, he's speaking of the comfort that they would receive. He says, you experience it when you patiently endure the same sufferings we suffer. And verse 7, we know that you share in our sufferings. And what's the outcome? Start of verse 7, our hope for you is unshaken. And you ought to hear that phrase, Paul's hope for the Corinthians is unshaken, and you ought to be blown away. From a human perspective, Paul should have about a half ounce worth of hope in these people. But Paul's not looking at them from a human perspective. Paul is looking at them from the perspective of the suffering of Jesus Christ. And this other's orientation causes him to look, and he sees those suffering in Christ. And the idea is something like this as you go in verse 6 and 7. Paul, he's received the suffering and comfort. And then he sees them, and he looks at their life, and he says, they're going through what I went through. Christ's comfort has abounded to me. Christ's comfort will abound in them. And so Paul is filled with unshakable hope. Not because they're perfect, not because they have it together, but because they are suffering with Christ. And brothers and sisters, this evening, as you suffer and look at those around you, look at those around you in Christ as sufferers in Christ. Apart from this, we become full of pride. I'm not like them. I don't deal with the issues like those people do. Contempt. We look down on the sufferers around us. But as you look at your life and you see that you have received comfort in Christ, as you've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and then you look at others going through the valley of the shadow of death, you become filled with confidence, not so much in them, but in Christ. And we become not simply people who offer this chain of comforts, that God comforts us, that we comfort others, but we become people of a chain of hope, the hope of God poured out on us. We offer the hope to others. And you and I become those who begin to lock our arms together and say, we're going to suffer in Christ together, and we will be comforted in Christ together. That's Paul's longing for the Corinthians. And as we as sufferers lock our arms together and say, we are going to suffer, we're going to be afflicted, we're going to grieve together in Christ, where is that going to lead? Look back at verse 3. In many ways, verse 4 through 7 have been an exposition or an explanation of what Paul's driving to in verse 3. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul longs for is worship. And he longs to be worshiping with them. Look at that pronoun there. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's Paul's Christ. He's the Christ to the Corinthians. And Paul is reaching out and saying, let's bless God together as we suffer and as we are comforted. So as you tonight with your fellow believers suffer, be comforted, and then let it resound, let us resound in blessing to God. That psalm I sang there with Dr. Blackwood, Psalm 23 again, already sung tonight. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear no ill. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. The rod and the staff is a rod and staff of comfort. And where does that end? Where does the rod and staff lead us along to? Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. The God of comfort leads us to His house forever to worship Him. And even tonight, in affliction, you and I can stand and bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We bless You, our God and Father. We bless You, Christ. We bless You, Holy Spirit, for the comfort given in the gospel. Fill us with Your comfort, we pray, even as we would conclude this evening and walk into this world as those, yes, who suffer, but indeed as those comforted in You, Lord. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.